18, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. Brother Setzer, I haven't seen very many people do that. I mean, there's times that something gets so funny that I can get with my brother and we can get to cutting jokes and laughing and hard to catch my breath from time to time. But I've never seen very many people just fall out laughing like that, roll off the seat or wherever they were. But this is what Abraham did. They stood before him. They said, she's going to have a son, I'm going to bless her with a son, and she's going to be the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed, Brother Gary, just rolling around on the ground, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And even told him what to call him. Thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Rolling on the ground, laughing. Read over chapter 18, verse 9. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. That was the best joke Sarah and Abraham had heard that week. I mean, there wasn't nothing. I mean, whatever happened in their life up to that day, I mean, that was the best humor they'd had in a long time. So they look at Abraham and they tell him what's about to happen, and he falls on the ground rolling around laughing. An old man, 100 years old, rolling around on the ground, just holding his side, cracking up. Couldn't believe what he had just heard. And then later they find out where Sarah's at. She's back in the tent, and they say, repeat the same thing and say, I'm going to return unto you according to the time of life. And behind the tent door, she starts laughing. It was just as funny to her as it was to Abraham. And they'd never heard anything like it in their life, and never dreamed in a million years that was anything more than a joke. Nothing more than just a funny bit of humor that came their way, and there wasn't a thing that could come out of it. But turn over now. That was what we were seeing on the outside of Abraham and Sarah. That's what we were seeing on the outward expression of what they were told. But Romans chapter 4, if you want to turn there. Romans chapter 4, they begin to talk about this story again and all the different things. It's kind of into the law and then the things that we won't get into all that they're going into here. So we'll just jump in maybe about verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. We're in chapter 4 to the end. The promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. This was Abraham that was laughing those many years ago. This is Abraham that thought that was the funniest thing he ever heard those many years ago. Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. But verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. What did we see on the outward? What did we see as Abraham's expression? We see an old man rolling around in the dirt laughing. We seen his wife, old as well, hiding in the tent, snickering under her breath, and thought that was just the funniest thing that they had ever heard. And that was the outward expression. That was what people could see when they got the news. But even though that was what his outward expression was, and even though that was what he was portraying to those around him, somewhere deep within his heart, somewhere there was a little spark in there. Against all hope, the Bible says, he believed in hope. And even though it seemed like nothing that they were saying would ever come to pass, we learn in the 20th verse of the chapter 4 that Abraham never even staggered at the promise of God, and never even had one misstep, and never even had one sway to and fro. But he believed everything that God said deep within his heart, where no one else could see. When we seen him laughing, and when we seen him on the ground, and we seen Sarah laughing, deep within his heart, he didn't even stagger. He didn't even take one misstep, but he believed exactly what God told him. I don't know about you, but there's times that I have... I always say that I haven't faced anything difficult in my life, and really I haven't. I mean, everybody has deaths in their family, and everybody has had things like that come along. If you haven't yet, if no one close to you has died, they soon will. And if no one close to you has passed on, I guarantee you, they soon will. And before you know it, you'll be attending more funerals than you ever thought you would ever attend. And as the years go on, more people that you knew will all of a sudden be gone from this earth. And if the Lord should tarry and we begin to spend more years down here, and even though 2000 is looming just a month or so away, and even though that's all the big hype, the year 2000 doesn't have any significance to me. I don't believe you need to throw all your eggs in that basket and say, man, that's the time to be ready. You better be ready right now in 1999, November. That you better not be looking at no 2000 thinking that's the time something might happen. But should the Lord tarry and we go on into 2001 or 2002, I can just guarantee you you'll find yourself standing in many a casket, and you'll find yourself standing in many a funeral home or many a church services with folks that you never thought would leave this earth before you did, that you never thought you would have to see to the grave, but it'll happen to you. And if you're not careful, you'll be coming into those circumstances. And even though outwardly everybody staggers, but if you're not careful, you'll begin to lose the grip that you have on the Lord. And your faith will begin to stagger. And when those difficult times in life come, as they surely will, if we're not careful, even the parts on the inside that nobody sees will begin to stagger. Abraham here, who no doubt on the outward, nobody would have thought he was going to have a son. That time had passed in his life. No doubt there was nothing, but on the inside, when everything on the outside looked like it was staggering, and when everything on the outside looked like there wasn't a way he could even stand straight, on the inside he was a rock. And on the inside, even though there was just nothing but one little glimmer of hope, he was hanging on to that for everything that was worth. Even though there was nothing to even convince anybody that what was said was true, he knew it came from God. And he knew good and well that that was the God that he left everything for. And he knew good and well that this was the God that he had thrown everything in with. And he said, if God said it, even though I'm staggering on the outside, and even though I'm shaking on the outside, deep down, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it will come to pass. Because God's word is true, and there is nothing too hard for my God. I mean, didn't even stagger. Not even stagger. You know what it is when you stagger? There's always something shaking somewhere. I mean, it may be the ground you're on. I've never been in an earthquake that I ever felt the ground move. I was here when we had those, you know, I was living in Ohio when they had those a few years ago, that a little bit of a tremor or something that some people felt. I never felt it. Never felt anything about it. And so I've never been where I could actually feel the ground begin to move. But something somewhere is shaking if you start to stagger. It may be the ground. It may be the building that you're in. I've been on some buildings that were a little bit shaky. Me and Mike was up on the barn at Melvin Wills' farm baling hay and standing on that roof. I believe he's up there with me, Mike. And here come a boy in the neighborhood named Kevin Ferguson driving a tractor. And he come around there and took out the whole corner of that barn post and beam over there that was holding that little overhang roof up. Me and Mike was on there. You can just guarantee, it was probably shaking with the beam there, with the post there, with me and Mike up there. So with that gone, it made for a little bit of a shaky platform, and I felt that uneasiness. And I began to wonder, and Melvin didn't know what to do. We was up there, and he was yelling at Kevin. Kevin didn't know what he'd done. Took it out just clean as a whistle with the wagon that he was pulling behind the tractor. But something somewhere is going to be shaking if you're staggering. And it may be the ground. I know people that live in California. It's just a common thing to them. When they feel that begin to shake. Sometimes I've had things in my ear. I guess it's something shaking in there makes me feel like. And if I could just be standing there and just things will just sway and I'll grab a hold of something just last for just a second. But I begin to stagger like that. But it's, no matter how many things on the outside come against us, because our boat's going to be sailing some treacherous waters between here and the Lord's return. So no matter how many waves might bash against us, and no matter how many times it might seem like the outward and even the ground that we're standing on begins to sway and begins to stagger, God says there's a way that you can live where deep down in your heart, when everything else all around you is swaying to and fro, and when everything else all around you is just about to crumble down, you can live such a way where there's not even a stagger in your heart, not even a doubt, not even a one misstep, because you know that you put your faith in God and you put your trust in the Lord, and come what may, God said he'll take us through, and you don't even stagger. What kind of man was Abraham walking right into the face of that? You're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Isaac. I'm not even staggering. I'm an old man. I've seen many years go by, but I'm not even staggering. I believe everything God tells me. I'm not even going to miss a step, no matter how impossible it may seem. With God on my side, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I can make it. Didn't even miss a step. Didn't even miss a step. Something was shaking. Something was tearing all around Abraham and Sarah. But they didn't even stagger, Mike. They didn't miss one step. I'm telling you, I want to get to the place. I don't know about you, but I want to get to the place, Brother Croucher, where it doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what the hospital attendant comes out and says. It doesn't matter how many people's in the waiting room. It doesn't matter how many times we stand beside a casket that we never thought we'd stand behind. It doesn't matter how many things come our way. I want to get to a place where deep down there's nothing but a solid rock. And deep down I know beyond a shadow of a doubt my faith is grounded in the Lord. And no matter what comes my way, even when it seems like the ship is about to go under, I'm going to stand and look God in the face and say, God, I didn't stagger. I didn't doubt one time. No matter what came my way, I was able to believe your word. I was able to stand true. I was able to stand sure. When all the storms of life come, you want to have a son, Abraham. Oh, there, I sat and told Brother Chester up there. I said, Brother Chester, I've got some things I'd like to see for the school. There's some goals that I would like to see us reach. I would like to see, and I put out a number. I said, I would like to see this number, this many kids in here. And I said, but I just don't want to see them in here. I don't want to see them in here just because we want to have a big school. But I want to see them in here where I can preach to them in chapel. And I've had parents calling me all year long. There's no place to put them. I could fit two more in my class, and then we'd be start stacking them up like cordwood. The junior high is full. We've added a whole nother. We took up half the gym as a classroom this year, and it's as full as I would like to see it get. There's no room anywhere to put anybody. People are still calling me on the phone. I say, what about putting my son or what about putting my daughter in there? And I tell them, listen, now let me tell you what's going to happen if you enroll them in here to this school. I don't know what their spiritual condition is, but I guarantee you we're going to hit them every time we can and tell them exactly what we want to tell them. And I said, we may educate them, and they may come out knowing algebra, and they may come out knowing geometry, and they may come out knowing chemistry. But if they don't go out knowing any of that stuff, I said, they're going to come out of here knowing about a God that can help them, and they're going to come out of here knowing about a God that they can get a hold of, so that no matter what comes their way in life, they're able to stand short. And no matter what comes their way in life, they won't have to stagger. I said, I don't know what your son or your daughter is right now as far as spiritual condition. But I said, when they come here, I'm going to talk to them about their soul. And I'm going to make sure that they realize that they need to have a relationship with God. I want to send them out of here, someone that God can use, someone that God can get a hold of, and a life that God can take and use for His glory. That's why I want to see a lot of kids in there. Now, that's why I want to see the rooms filled up. Now, that's why I want to see chapel full. Because that's a place God can come down and have His choice and pick us some young lives that He can do something with. I want to get kids in there that can stand firm when the storms of life come, and they can look back and say, you know what? You don't have to stagger. You don't have to sway to and from, even though everything underneath you is falling apart. Even though everything underneath you seems like it's crumbling down. Even though everything that we thought was sure is falling all around us, you still don't have to stagger. But you can hang on to God just like Abraham did. Just like Abraham did, laughing his head off, rolling around on the ground. If anybody would have seen him, they'd have thought, man, he's lost his mind now. But deep down, when no one else could see, and deep down where no one else realized, Abraham was grabbing onto that hope. And he said, I'm going to have another son. I'm going to have another son. Isaac is just as sure here if he was already born, because God said it, and I believe it, and I'm not even going to stagger. We can get that place in God. Abraham was a man just like you and me. Abraham, he faced the same things you and I face. And if God could stand there and tell him something, and him not even stagger, that I don't care what the doctor's saying. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what kind of thing God speaks to you in your heart, like He did to Mike those many years ago. God will bring it to pass because His word is true, and there is nothing too hard for God. Let everybody find a place to pray.